God is faithful. If you're a first grader, join me at page 1,252 or 1,252 or 1,252. But join me at that page number, because there you'll find the text that we're going to be teaching on today from Romans, the 12th chapter and the 12th verse. Romans, the 12th chapter and the 12th verse. I hear pages turning as you are beginning your adventure. And I'm just so grateful that God has blessed us with just wonderful ministry here, where we are assured from the Word of God what God has to say to us. And today, God has a message for each and every one of us. In all that happens in life, things happen and God still speaks. Can I say that again? God still speaks. You know why I believe God speaks so much to us? It's because we forget a lot. Okay, it's going to be one of those mornings. Let me look at some friends for a moment here. We forget sometimes just how faithful God is. And the reason we forget sometimes how faithful God is because things happen in life, unscheduled things happen in life, trials come, and we can become distracted. You know, let me start there as you have made your way to the Word. We become distracted. Pastor George, so good to have you back, man. Don't go on vacation that long again. Don't do that. Good to have you back. No, Pastor George is not a distraction. No, he's not a distraction. Now, but we become distracted. I realize this on a national televised event. I realize this. National televised event where we were supporting athletes, certain athletes. We went there to support certain athletes. And Brother Al, I realized at this national sporting event that I had the privilege, Mike, of attending. And they didn't ask my permission to put my image for the world to see that I was attending this sporting event. But the Astros were playing, and I got an invite. And I want to show you what ESPN decided to put on the screen. You wouldn't believe this. Look at this. That guy in blue right there. Everybody else is paying attention to what's happening on the field, but somebody is distracted. Because he was distracted, he missed the triple play that the Astros accomplished against their rival because his focus was in the wrong direction. Blaine, you remember that. Now you remember that, yeah. Then I've asked, what happened? What? I'm at the game. Great seats. And I missed the major play. Come here, let me talk to you for a moment. We can be so close to what God is doing, so close to the things of God, but one distraction and we'll miss God's major play. And we know when we're getting close. You can take it off now, man. It's embarrassing enough, bro. You can take it off now. It's embarrassing enough, but I learned life lessons because God is always speaking, even at a baseball game. Because for believers, oftentimes, we can get so caught up in circumstances that we stop ourselves from truly seeing that in spite of circumstances, God is still at work. And God is still faithful. And you know when you've been caught up in a distraction because it impacts your behavior. Because there are beneficial behaviors for all believers. If you're really going to experience life, if you're really going to experience the joys of life that God has for each and every one of us, Galen, there are beneficial behaviors for believers. Three are listed right there in the 12th verse of the 12th chapter of Romans. Because God's word says from that 12th verse in Romans, in a translation that I haven't read from, I need my glasses for this. All right, here we go. I think. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, faithful in affliction, and faithful in prayer. ESV says it this way. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and constant in prayer. And we know as believers that we get caught up in distractions that happen sometimes unplanned when our joy is not on display. When there is no joy that is happening in our lives. When people see us and all they see is what we're going through to the degree that they can't tell who's going through it with us. I hope you catch this. Because when the Roman believers in Rome were going through persecution as a church, the Holy Spirit wrote through the Apostle Paul, in all you do, make sure you rejoice in hope. Rejoice. To discover joy again. Rejoice. To look over your life, Chad, and see the handprint of God throughout your life. Because when you think about all that God has done for you, it ought to cause joy to come out of you. You're not thinking enough. I can tell by your faces. You're not thinking hard enough. Think back that it was God and his love that has kept you. Now, everybody, can't rejoice in this moment because some of y'all hadn't been through anything. But for the rest of us who've gone through some things in this life, and you look back over your life, you can testify that, you know what? God has been good to me. God has been so good that he's kept you. And the Bible declares that we ought to remember what God has done by rejoicing. Rejoice in hope. Apostle Paul writes about rejoicing because he understands that oftentimes we get so jaded in our experiences that we fail to see truly all that God is doing, and so we stop rejoicing. But anytime you find yourself in a place where you feel that you are being pushed and you're being pulled and you are not seeing what you ought to be seeing, the behavior for every believer is this, that we have to learn to concentrate on Christ. I hope you get this. That every day of our lives, every moment that we live because of the grace of God. We live because God is rich in mercy. We don't deserve to be here, but God in his love allows us to be here, and in that we ought to be able to rejoice. You ever got cut off in traffic here in Texas? And you still made to your destination, that's reason enough to rejoice. You ever wondered whether or not the kids will come home and they came home safely? That's reason enough to rejoice that God has been good to you. Saints have always said it this way, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what the Lord has done. God's word declares that we ought to have joy in hope. And here it is. It is Christ who is our hope. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. And when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you always have a reason to celebrate. Amen. Man, I thought I was talking to some saved folk. Let me say this one more time. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Carolyn, that you always have a reason to praise God. That's why the psalmist said it this way, let everything that has breath. So if you're not breathing, then you ought not be praising. But if you're praising, then you ought to be praising. Because he says, let everything that has breath do what?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. because God is good to us. He says, rejoice in hope. It calls for us to turn our attention to God. And when you turn your attention to God, you're reminded of his love. When you direct your attention to God, you are reminded of the peace that he gives. When you direct your attention to God, you're in the safest place than you can ever be. You know, to add a note, one of the greatest dangers on the roads today are distracted drivers. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. To the degree that they have to tell grown people to not look at their cell phones while, I'm looking for a friend right now, while driving. And the reason for that is because our attention ought to be on what's in front of us. I'm trying to help you understand something. And it's God who goes before us. It's God who holds us. It's God who keeps us. And if we're going to exercise behaviors that are beneficial to life with Christ, we have to always keep our attention on God. I hope you got that. Rejoice in hope. But not only does he say rejoice in hope, look at the Bible again. He says, now be patient in tribulation. Be patient in affliction. Be patient as you get through what you're going through. Patience. It is that spiritual ability to not give in, not retreat, but hold up under. It's patience. It's the ability, Greg, to not flee, but rather stand firm. Knowing that when you're standing, you're not standing by yourself. He says, be patient in affliction. You know why, Curtis? Because all of us at some point in our lives will have a journey through the area of affliction. Everybody will have a tour of duty in tribulation. And if you're not coming out of one, then you praise God, but you are going to end up going into one, so praise God. And don't start praising God once you get in it. If you praise God on your way to it, then you're able to praise God on your way through it. And so when you get to the other end, you're still praising God. And when someone looks at your life, they say, why is it that you still have joy? You could tell them, because as I was journeying, I wasn't journeying by myself. Okay, I knew I had to bring my own witness in this thing. So I asked David. David told me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. There's something about it when God is with you. When you know that God is with you, you can hold up under some stuff. When you know God is with you, you can make it through things you never thought you could make it through. When you know that God is with you, then you know trouble don't last. Some of you in here. And every time you walk out in the parking lot, every time you leave here and you have to feel the weight of burdens that life can bring sometime, every time you get to your vehicle, I want your vehicle to serve as a reminder that God gives you the ability to hold up under the weight. I know. Some of you are not mechanically inclined, but you may not know this. This may be profound to many of you, but let me go ahead and tell you. Most passenger vehicles have four wheels. Tires that are there. And if you ever look at your vehicle, next time you go to your vehicle, I want you to look at your tires. Look at the tires. And when you look at the tires, you realize that the majority of the weight of the vehicle is only on a small portion called a contact patch of the tire. We got to show you this. There it is right there. You thought I was making this thing up. I do my research. Here it is. It's only a contact patch that's bearing the weight of the tire. You mean your 15-ton pickup truck, your one-ton pickup truck can have weight bearing on tires and only a small portion of the tire is supporting the weight. The reason it's able to do this is because what's in it allows for it to be able to sustain the pressure that's upon it. I hope you caught that. That what's in it allows it to sustain the pressure that's upon it, that all of the area of the tire is not holding the weight. All of the afflictions of life is not the totality of your life. It's only a part of your life. Get this. Things happen each and every day in this life, but don't let what happened to you define you. You have to understand that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when God is in you, there is nothing you can't make it through. That's why you got to practice patience. Go and help me preach for a moment. Tell your neighbor, practice patience. Stop looking at the clock. I'm going to let you out in time. Practice patience. I see the clock. I know what time it is. No, we have to practice it. Because when we practice patience, we'll realize that what it produces within the life of the believer is peace. That when you practice patience, it produces in the life of the believer peace. You know, on Wednesday nights in JV University, we're going to be going through the Book of Psalms. Some of you are looking at me like, JV University, what's that? What's that? Let me help you out for a moment. We have things that happen here on campus on Wednesday nights, 6:45. You ought to come out and dive into the Word of God with us as we meet in the gymnasium. But we are going to be going through Psalms for every reason and every season, because things happen in life and we know that we need God to help us, particularly, don't look at anybody right now, look at me, in the area of patience. I know you can use some help in the area of patience, but when we have patience, it gives us peace. The psalmist in Psalm 46 said it this way: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It gives us peace, peace. And that P in the peace stands for pause. Because every now and then, when things happen in life, we got to learn how to pause. How to just stop. Because oftentimes, in those moments, God is speaking, but we're so busy responding and moving that we don't really hear God when he speaks. So we have to pause. The E in peace is exhale. Inhale too. The point is, breathe. Breathe. Remember, the Bible says, let everything that has. And as you breathe, you're reminded of just how patient God has been with you. Oh, the A is to acknowledge. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways. You know your word. Acknowledge him. It's kind of like my grandfather used to always say when I'd come to him with problems and a litany of problems. He said to me, son, you don't have to tell God about your problems. Maybe you ought to tell your problems about your God. Acknowledge God. Because when you really put it in perspective and you acknowledge God for who he is in light of anything and everything that you're going through, you realize that God has enough power to take care of whatever you are experiencing in life. You ought to acknowledge him. Amen. And when you acknowledge God, then you choose God's plan and purpose. Because in the life of the believer, tribulations don't come just as tribulations. Afflictions don't come just as afflictions. There are tests. There are lessons that God wants us to learn as we go through what we go through. And so we choose God's way. And finally, we exchange in God's will. We line up. We line up with God's will. Because God is always speaking. You know, Karen and I have four beautiful teenagers. Y'all supposed to say amen right there. I'm gonna be patient. I'll wait. We have four teenagers, and I'm saying that because this is really my prayer request. We have four teenagers. And we love them. We love them dearly. And sometimes you don't realize just how blessed you are in whatever season you're going through. You don't. But I realized this, Connie, not long ago, because I realized this when my four teenagers were riding with me, Curtis. Nowadays, they don't have a lot to say to me. They're more on smart devices, and if they want to talk to me, they want to text me, but not while I'm driving. Okay, here it is. But they don't want to really say anything. But then I have this nephew. I think he's six. I don't know how old the boy is nowadays. Which one? Yeah, there you go. And one time he was riding with me. And I was just going to the store, and I realized a difference in when my teenagers ride with me and my nephew rides with me. Because my nephew was riding with me, he began to ask some strange questions, like why did God make the tree green? And why, you're a preacher, why is the sky blue? And uncle, why are you getting that gas? Why you didn't get the other gas? And I'm like, I was having a condition. As he was, Ronnie, continuing to converse with me. And I began to get a little bit what's that word now? I'm talking about patience. Yeah, that is right there. I was trying to practice ongoing patience. But my patience hadn't. I pass it y'all, so let me help you understand something. My patience nearly ran out. And as I was pumping the gas, and he was asking all these questions, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And he said, how else will he learn if he can't ask questions? Come here. Because here's the third part of that text, where he says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction, in tribulation. But then he says, be faithful in prayer. Some translation says, be constant in prayer. Here it is. Make sure that you talk to God. Come here, I gotta help you understand something. Because when you talk to God, he'll enable you to rejoice. And when you talk to God, he'll enable you to practice ongoing patience. But you must talk to God. That's what prayer is all about, is having a conversation with God. That's why the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We talk to God. We commune with God. We get in line and align with God's will through prayer. In fact, we come to God through prayer. We receive forgiveness from God through prayer. And when you don't know how to pray or what to pray, then you can read prayers and pray the very prayers in the scripture themselves. Because God invites us to pray. And when you pray, you are in the presence of Almighty God. When we come to God in prayer, we receive access to the power of God that enables us to overcome any and everything. That's why the Bible says you are overcomers. And sometimes we do not activate the power that's within us, because the only way to get to it is through prayer. That'd be constant in prayer, always talking to God, because God is always listening. Hear this too. And God is always speaking. God is always speaking. He's speaking in his word. That's why first graders, make sure you continue the adventure in your Bible, and you read your Bible. Not just first graders, though, all of you. Yeah. Study the word, because God is speaking through his word. God speaks through nature. And you hear me tell you all the time that everything is homiletical content, that God is always speaking. We're just not always listening. But God is always speaking. And we need to talk to God and hear from God particularly as we go through this thing called life. Because there's some things that happen in the life of the church and the life of Christians that will be unexpected. And you'll need power from God to help you make sense out of what happens in life. Because sometimes it's tense. Sometimes circumstances are hard and difficult. But I learned something. Do you know that the tension on a piano chord is able to sustain the weight of an elephant? The tension on a piano chord is over 35,000 pounds of tension that's pulling at the cord. Life is like that. And for someone who is untrained at the piano, all you have is a box of tension. All you have is a life of tension. But when a master musician is able to put his hands on the piano, that which is a box of tension creates beautiful music. Come here, Austin. I need to show them this. I don't think we're getting it just yet. It says, pray constantly and faithfully, because God is able to make wonderful melodies even in seasons of struggle, because he knows how to bring a song in the midst of all. He helps us make sense of it all. And when believers pray, something happens on the inside. Something happens in your life as you concentrate on Christ, as you practice ongoing patience, as you continue in prayer. You're able to say, it is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. Know it. It says something like, when peace, like a river, tended my way. When struggles and sea billows roll. When trials come, it is God who taught me how to say, it is well with my soul.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.